In the Book of Lamentations, you will struggle, certainly through a lot of it, to find anything that indicates to you that the writer, whom we believe was Jeremiah, that Jeremiah was anything less than greatly puzzled. In fact, he was greatly pained as he looked around him and he saw the state of the land. And as we read in the earlier parts of this chapter, he is in such a state that we have recorded here his thinking, and he is really feeling at a very low end, and that the Lord somehow or other has turned his back upon him and is not there for him just as he formerly had been. But I think it's fair enough to, and I think it's wise enough to agree with many of the biblical commentators who will say that the Lamentations reach their apex, if you want to call it that, in verses 22 through verse 25. Some people have looked at these three or four verses and have said, well, this simply is a statement of faith. And so it was, as far as the individual was concerned. There was nothing, or certainly very little, around him to encourage his heart as far as people were concerned. There was a hardness and an indifference and a falling away, and those who should have been encouraging him were not encouraging him. And all of these things were closing in on him. And yet he recognizes that in the midst of it all, the Lord is still there, as he's promised to be. And he says these words in verses 22 through verses 25 that totally seems to lift him. And they lift the passage, and I hope they lift you and me today as well. We don't need to go into something, that we're all very aware of, that there's ever so much in the province of the minute, in personal circumstances, and in every way you turn, there is that which could get you down and have you despairing and feeling that the Lord didn't care or the Lord was no longer with you in a special way. And maybe there is just one person and you're listening in today, maybe someone who couldn't make it out, but you're listening, and I hope that people who can't make it out do listen to something somewhere on Sunday morning. But maybe you're feeling your own shortcomings are very great. Maybe you've encountered strange stumbling blocks along the way. Someone you didn't think so would have discouraged you and have done that. Maybe there's cynicism, which there certainly is here in the early part of the chapter. Maybe there's been little gladness, and when you have been feeling at a low ebb, Satan has come along and buffeted you more and more, and you've lost all your freshness. And you feel that all your zeal for the Lord has nearly gone, and your Christian walk has been reduced to just really, if the truth be known, to a gloomy ritual. There's no good progress, and there's no good future in that, and we want to get away from that. But as we look at this passage, we remind ourselves, we should anyway, that there's no new thing under the sun. Because if what I've mentioned there is your experience, so it was for Jeremiah, the good man, trying to serve the Lord. Very, very few people were responding to what he said. And I don't mean as far as people being saved were concerned. There were virtually none. Well, one. And maybe there were others. But as far as even believers were concerned, he was really under pressure here. And Jeremiah realized that now, folks, he found a way. He found a way up and out of how he was thinking. And that is something that we do be looking for, and it's always a big mistake if we're looking up and out to just stay at home from church today. Or to just say, well, I'll go and throw myself into something that the world has to offer, and maybe that will give me a little fix. That's not up and out. That's just fooling yourself. But he found a way here that was up and out, how the Lord could raise him. He began to focus upon the Lord's mercies. He remembered what he was, and he says it's of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. And he says his compassions, or the word literally means his comforts, His compassions are comforts, they fail not. And then he says in verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. And folks, it's always so important that we remember that. That the Lord is our portion. Remember the Levites said no inheritance, but the Lord was their portion. And you and I have him as our portion. It says, therefore will I hope in him. And when you look at verse 24 at the very beginning, he's really saying here, when he says, the Lord is my portion, God is all knowing. He knows my need. God is all supplying. He knows now how to supply our need. And God is all reliable. And as we look to the rest of the year, God willing, there's still a lot to be done. We're coming to holiday time now with, of course, Bible class and Sunday school are not taking place for midweek meetings. But it'll not be that long to the Bible club. And then it'll not be too long again after that until we're getting into the autumn work again. And we have our mission later on in the year and so on. So throughout the remainder of the year, the Lord can help you and me to walk not only in joy and victory, but in great usefulness. Great usefulness for the Lord. And I want this morning to look with you at the blessed unity of watching, working, and waiting. The blessed unity of watching, working, and waiting, because that is exactly what Jeremiah was doing. And I want you to notice first of all, and this is just a reminder to all of us, that God's work is always ongoing. It is always ongoing. I remember one time speaking at length with the late Reverend Kenneth Elliott. He and I were talking about things, and he was talking about hard times and some of the little works in the mainland, so hard. He said, you know, we always have a tendency to think that a revival came and that even to our own country and everything was changed remarkably, that then the Lord would be working. He said, but that is a mistake, because even in those little works with many, many difficulties and discouragements and disappointments, and the works in Northern Ireland with their share of those things as well, he said, the Lord is always working. And I haven't forgotten that. Because God's work is always going on. And you and I who know him, as you cast your mind back, even a week or two, never mind a few months, we can see that the Lord has been working. There's a lovely verse over there in Deuteronomy 3, and it's verse 24. It says, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. That is a powerful statement. Thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? It's a tremendous verse, encouragement. And you and I, surely every one of us that are saved today, can look back even a little way and we can say there, I saw the hand of the Lord working. It's mentioned in the prayer meetings, how God has answered prayer, how he has revived maybe some of his own people and stirred up our hearts, how he has blessed in the various meetings, how time and time again he has given us more than we asked for. And he's given us great opportunity. But having said all of that, the work is ongoing. And folks, in the work of God, it is always, while it can be, there can be great gladness and there ought to be, it is always a battle. It is always a battle. And yes, people do say to me, but what about so and so? They're supposed to be Christians and they're never, they don't do anything, or they don't want to go to church, and they don't, I know they don't go, and all these things. That is true. But nonetheless, there are those who will be involved and people who will do what they can. And it is always a battle. Over there in Job chapter 39, verse 19, it says, hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? And the word thunder there refers to a big mane on the back of the war horse. And as it was going into battle, that war horse would, the mane would have been flowing there. But that was an indication, and this in Job is an indication, the war horse could instinctively tell
when he was about to be entered into a battle. And they'd have been snorting, and they'd have been pawing at the ground, and ready to go. And it is said concerning them that they rushed into the battle without slowing, with all of their might. And they got involved in the battle. In the battle. And Job here is saying in the book of Job, this is just, look at verse 20. Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. The war horse here is ready to go. He's ready to be involved. And why you and I don't paw the ground? Certainly, it's always encouraging to know that we're ready to do what we can. Ready to do what we can for the Lord. And the war horse here is a picture of God's people looking to him and their willingness in the day of his power. God is still saving souls. There are still some being saved. He is still giving encouragements to his work. And always, his work is ongoing. His people are watching. And they are waiting. And they are working. But sometimes if we get our focus all upon the negative things, then we don't want to do anything. We don't want to do anything, but it's important, vital, to notice, as Jeremiah did, God's work is ongoing, folks. Doesn't matter if it's in days of revival, if it's in a huge auditorium with hundreds of people there, or meeting somewhere of half a dozen. God's work is ongoing. And I want to say to you as an individual and to me, it's ongoing with us, in us, and for us. And there's a blessed unity in watching and working and waiting. But the work is ongoing. But I want to say secondly here, Jeremiah noticed this as well, that God is always at the helm. You would be forgiven for reading the early verses of chapter 3 in Lamentations and thinking, well, Jeremiah here, he thinks God is not at the helm. That's because he's human. Because Jeremiah is human and he's limited. But God is not limited. Someone prayed this morning in the prayer meeting regarding God not being limited. And God is not limited. And Jeremiah, in a very extreme situation here, came to that point where he realized that this was the case. And he says, therefore, I will hope in him. And in doing that, the Lord is good to them that wait for him now. And God is always at the helm. Doesn't mean you always see him there. We sow and we sow again. And that is our responsibility. Sometimes people have reminded me of that. Sometimes I'm visiting someone, maybe in hospital, too well, and you say, well, I'm keeping on sowing, but there's not so many interested in coming to the Lord these days. And they've said to me on more occasion than one, they said, but that's not your job. Your job is to sow. Now it's God's job to get the increase. Over there in James chapter 1, the epistle here is written to those who have had a lot of difficulties. They've been scattered abroad all over the place, and many trials. And the writer knows that patience might be a problem. So he says here, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. And every one of us have a particular need of patience in the work of God. And the way to have patience is to be patient. And that helps you to be patient again and again and again. And I think if we keep looking to God's word, and we keep looking to him time and time again, when people thought he wasn't going to work, he did work. When people thought that all was lost, you can think of Daniel and his friends. People, humanly speaking, thought, well, them boys are gone. It's over for them. You think of Abijah, good King Abijah, who was surrounded. There was everything that he could have done. He could have formed an alliance with those who were no friends of his. He could have given up and run or backed out. But he did what the Lord said, and the Lord sent him out to battle. And he was surrounded on every hand and greatly outnumbered. And the Bible tells us that the Lord delivered him because he prayed to him.
because he cried to him. He didn't give him any indication of the deliverance before he went out. And folks, in all of the work of God, and as we approach our Bible club, I'm very aware that I'll be here next week, God willing, but then I'll be off for, I think, 3 Sundays, and then the Bible club is almost upon us. And that's why I'm mentioning it this morning to you. As we go there to do what we do, invite people personally, we commit ourselves to coming along to help, we pray that the Lord will move in all of that. Let's remember that God is at the helm. And God is in control. We can look back fondly on last year and say, well, God was at the helm, and he will be this year as well. And in all of his work, he knows the end from the beginning. But I want to say here again as well, as a third point, that there was here now in the heart of Jeremiah a spirit of expectation, because we're looking again where he says, therefore will I hope in the Lord. Therefore I hope in him. Look, most Christians want more blessing, and they've tasted some, and they want to have more blessing. But you look around you today, yes, the land is largely parched, but it's good to have. It's important to have the spirit of expectation. I'm probably speaking to people now, and you can think of loved ones of your own, and try as you may to get them under the word. It's proved a very difficult thing. And even as you prayed for them, for people who are not saved, getting them to come to the Lord is just beyond you. Well, let's have the spirit of expectation, because over in Isaiah chapter 32, it says there in verse 12, it says, they shall lament for the peaks, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Then it says, because the palaces shall be forsaken, and the multitude of the city shall be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Everything was in despair and distress and desolation. The thorns and the briars are representations in the Bible of sin on every hand, and so it is today. Then, verse 15, until, see the word until, that gives us a spirit of expectation. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for the forest. And I trust today that every one of us will have that spirit of expectation. That whatever we do, whether we preach, or whether we just ask someone to come along to a meeting, or whether we come along wondering, will the Lord work, and sit there ourselves, in all of that, that the Lord will grant to us a spirit of expectation. Over there in 1 Kings, and we can all see the distress and the desolation that there is, but it's important to have that spirit of expectation. Do you remember when Elijah was up on Carmel and praying for the rain? It says in verse 43, said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. Straightforward to go once. Pretty hopeful to go twice. But you need a great spirit of expectation to go 7 times. And you and I, as we keep showing the word, and we keep inviting people, and we keep praying, we need to remember that the Lord would have us just like Jeremiah. Jeremiah was, he was probably as far down here as he was at any time in his life. And then he got his eyes on the Lord again. And he remembered that the Lord was his portion, and the Lord was able, and he could have hope and expectation in the Lord. I trust the Lord will help us to work in that way. I have to preach in that way. Because if I preach without a spirit of expectation, I'll soon stop and do something else. You must have a spirit of expectation. But I want to also say that whenever we are waiting and watching and working, we are enabled to use the means that God has given to us. Christianity is not a lazy man's job.
It's given to us the opportunity to pray. I know people, some people who are very unwell, but I can guarantee you, people are thinking of who don't come, genuinely can't come to church. They're praying this morning for God's work. And there are those who perhaps with great struggle will come along and they avail themselves of the word of God. And they're encouraged to pray on because they see that the Lord will be able to do. I trust that the Lord will enable all of us to benefit from the means that he gives us. Strengthen us and encourage us, and that we will strengthen one another. It's very, very easy, I suppose, to leave off asking and not to ask the Lord for the same things, to move in the hearts of people and to come and revive his church. But may the Lord help us all. I'm encouraged today. I see so many out this time of year, considering so many are not able to be here. And may the Lord help all of us in to use the means that he has given to us and to greatly benefit from them. I want to also say, while we wait, folks, while we wait and work and watch, it is so often then that we grow. Again, you think that if revival comes and there's people get saved every week and great numbers attending meetings and so on, then you would definitely grow. Well, in those days, there were people lost out just to see him. Christians lost out just to see him. And you take Israel as an example. It was very often through the hard toil and the setbacks and the difficulties and the discouragements and the opposition as well, as far as they were concerned, that they progressed. And they grew. And as you and I watch together and wait together for the Lord and work together, it is then that there will be strength. Saying that you and I will grow stronger and grow in the Lord. And that zeal that we need, the influence that we want, all of those things can come along whenever we are working and waiting and watching. Not when we're neglecting. Neglecting is a one-way street to shipwreck. And I say that in love to you. I say it in my own heart every single day. Neglect is a one-way street, not just to shipwreck for me, but shipwreck for my family and for others that I affect. There's no question about that. If you think of Nehemiah, he was greatly burdened. He had a great job, and that would have been a temptation for many to hold on to what he had as king's cupbearer. But he had a great burden for his own land, and he went before the king and he asked a big thing to be released to go to his homeland. He got a lot more than that. And everything that he needed, the Lord supplied him with it. And he went back to the people, and he was greatly strengthened in the Lord. And he was able to say, I told them of the good hand of my God upon me. It's good for me and you to be able to do that. He told them of the good hand of his God upon him. And you know what happened? They grew, and they were strengthened as well. I think I mentioned the other night in one of the prayer meeting, and maybe it was in Mount Mary, I'm not sure, that so many attacks upon the mind these days. And remember, we read over there, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. It means fixed on him. Fixed on him. And Nehemiah was totally fixed on him. And from obscurity, really, he came forward to be God's man. And the leader of the people. He wasn't without his faults, his flaws, neither were they. But they threw their weight behind the work. And when those who hated the work sought to do what they could, sometimes in a very subtle way, and folks, that does happen. Don't think everyone wants your work in Appalachia to progress. Some things of the year would alarm you greatly. But we must continue to look through the Lord. And look to him, even that while we're waiting and working and watching, that there will be growth. I want to notice here with you finally that the Lord will never give to his church. He may allow people to gather in great numbers. And he may allow people to have a sense of euphoria. And he may allow got up performances.
And then they allowed crowd psychology, so-called, to seem to be the way forward. But God will never let his church have real blessing outside him. Outside him. Remember what it says in Zephaniah 3 and 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will see it. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And it's only when you and I, and indeed Jeremiah here, remember this. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. That our hearts will be uplifted. That our spirits will be stirred. That we'll be strengthened to go on. He says here, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him. And folks, if there ever was a time when we want to be working and waiting and watching, it is now. I trust the Lord will have us all, whatever age we are, throughout the remainder of 2023, to see spiritual growth, just not just as a congregation, but as individuals, and that others too will join with us, and that there will be that warm fellowship, that godly enthusiasm, and that watching and working. And may the Lord bless the word brought to each of your hearts.